Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome to No Days Off Christian Radio Network. I'm your host, Pastor Tarquisha Gauze, coming to Kingdom Talk on today. And today, we're just asking the question, what is sin? And God is asking, what is sin to you? What does that word mean to you? What is the first thing that you think of when you hear it? And God's reply is from James 4:17. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. And Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. In James 4:7, submit yourselves therefore to God and resist the devil, so he will flee from you. So no sin can come nigh to you. You know, you got to resist it, turn down the temptation. And God is saying, if anyone say that they have no sin, we're deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us, because we all sin. We all fall short of the glory of God, but we're striving for perfection every day. We got to confess our sins and know that he is faithful to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But we can't say that we haven't sinned, because then we're making God out to be a liar. And that would mean that his word is not in us, because he definitely sent his son to die for our sins, because we was born into sin. We was born into unholiness. That's just how it was. But then we got a second chance to be redeemed. And the reason why God is asking that, because some of the things we do every day, God is saying, is considered a sin, like gossiping, being gluttonous, lust, envy, pride, jealousy. All those things are sin, which sometimes we don't take into account because it don't seem that serious. But God is saying it is that serious. Being slothful, procrastinating when God told you to do something and you're not doing it, that's a sin. Or you know you ate already, but you're going to go and stuff your face with two more plates when you're not even hungry. That's a sin. God is saying that's not what I called you to do. Or you being envious of your brother and sister, you're being jealous. That's a sin. We're not supposed to be covenant over the things that God give our brothers and sisters. We're supposed to be looking to what God is going to do for us. And he want us to know what sin is so that we don't find ourselves there. And if we do, then we have to find ourselves repenting. And that's the message that is going out all across the world right now. God is wanting people to take it serious, wanting the people to understand what it is, wanting people to know why it is vital, because you need to repent so that you can be forgiven. You're asking for forgiveness. You're confessing that you know that you fell short, that you know you need help, and that you know you need a savior. You have to confess that with your mouth. You have to say, you know, I need to be delivered. You know, I need this savior to help me. I need you to wash me white as snow. Like, these are the things that we have to know, because we do sin daily, but we have to get back up. The Bible says a righteous man falls 7 times daily, but he get back up. And it's not a discouragement. It's a hope, because you know, as humans, because we are not perfect, there's no one perfect man walking the earth. Only God was that. Jesus was that. So we have to understand that, okay, you're going to mess up, yes, but you cannot wallow in it. You cannot stay in it. God is speaking to the body of Christ, us as a collective. He's talking to us. We can't just stay there. You can make a mistake, but you have to get up from that place. You can have a bad day, but you can't have a bad day. That's basically what God is saying. Yeah, it'll happen. You know, you get the feeling, something throws you off. Okay, but then you got to still move forward. You still got to do what God called you to do. You still have to not give up. You still have to keep fighting. Because sin, the purpose of sin is to hold you to a dead place. Because the wages of sin is death. So it's trying to hold you to a dead place. If you continuously keep sinning, it don't produce no life in sin, only death. So therefore, it's trying to keep you in a place that's desolate, a place that has no life in it, no growth, you know, no happiness, nothing of the fruits of the Spirit if you're trapped in sin. So God wants us to be delivered and be set free so that we can have liberty and have, you know, the fruits of the Spirit and be filled with the Holy Ghost so that we can have a life and a life more abundantly that he said he would give us. But we have to keep a mindset of we only live once. No, we live twice. You're going to die here and then you're going to live for eternity. And that is your choice, either heaven or eternity in hell. But as a believer, that's a message that we still have to push out and we still have to promote, because you still have to let the people know that, yeah, this might be your life, but there is a chance. You know, you can repent. You can have a better life. You can have a different situation, circumstance. It doesn't matter what your mother went through, what your grandmother went through. It doesn't matter that none of them never graduated from high school. That does not have to be your story, because Jesus came for us and he died for our sins and the generational curses are broken. We don't have to be what our ancestors was. We don't have to be like our mothers and our fathers. We can be different. We can have a total different outcome, a total different story in God. That's what he's here for. If we repent of our sins and we turn from it and we begin to change our lifestyle and begin to get in his word and begin to fast, pray, and sow into the word of God, into the house of God, and believe, things will begin to shift in your life. And I am a firm believer in that, because it has happened for me. My family would be considered, I love them, the same batch of them, but would be considered the worst family ever. All types of different personalities. I got all different types of people doing different type of things, from drug dealers to this to that to X, Y, and Z. And I can say today, thank God, that's not my story. You know, what the enemy had set up for me was to just be very much, well, a part of it all, but God had a different plan. You know, I decided, I made a choice, you know, I'm going to try God out. You know, I'm not going to be bound to sin. I'm going to repent. I'm going to get saved. I'm going to give my life to Christ. I'm going to begin to build a relationship and start praying. Not saying you're going to be, you know, knowing a lot of stuff overnight, no, but building relationship is to start getting to know who God is and what God is and what this walk is about, what Christianity really is, not from what you see, you know, you've seen, not from what you heard, but from your own experience, your own hands-on experience about what this walk is about. And you will begin to find out the truth. You will begin to find out it's totally different sometimes than what you was taught, than what you was told. You know, God will begin to reveal things to you and open up your eyes and your understanding. You say, wait, hold up. Hey, that wasn't really true. That wasn't what people said it was. And that's not really how this thing is. And that's not how it goes, you know. You would just begin to get a deeper understanding, because God's people perish from a lack of knowledge. So once you begin to open up the book and you begin to form that relationship with him and start building it, you will begin to get more knowledge, more wisdom, more understanding to what this walk is really about. Because it definitely can change your life. It can pull you out of the hardest situations that you've ever been in. It can save your very life, save your soul, renew your mind. And sometimes people don't even know, even when you're not there yet, it's still God doing it anyway, just out of his love and his mercy and his grace for his children. Because you might not even be saved or there yet in your walk, and you find yourself getting out of these sticky situations. You probably have seen where you don't know how you got out of that. You don't know how you made it out. You don't know how that rent got paid right after the day it was due. You know, you thought you was out of there. You don't know how you got the eviction overturned. You don't know how, you know, you got that money for that food. You don't know how you was able to drive that car to that next location when you had little to no gas. But that all was acts of God. You know, that was God making a way for you. That was God showing his mercy and grace. And when you get even more closer to him, it just gets better and better and better. You just get saved from just more things. You just get the help that you need, the guidance that you need, the understanding that you need, that sometimes people just really can't do, that sometimes people just really can't pull you out. They really just don't understand, or you feel like you just can't lay it all on them because they're going to judge you or they're going to look at you crazy. But God can bear it all. And that's what he wants his people to understand, that once you make that choice and you turn from the life of sin and, you know, you put everything in his hands, no longer do you try to be the driver of your own life, your life begins to change. Now, we're not speaking about the enemy because obviously that's going to come. You know, he ain't going to want you to change, so you're going to have to go through, you know, some attacks and go through some things that God allow. But overall, your life begins to get 100% better because you're able to make it through. Some people are not going through what a believer can go through and make it out. It's very different. It could be the same situation, but it's a different outcome. It's a different perspective. It's a different mindset while going through it with God and without God. You need God to make it in this life. That's why you have people turning to temporary fixes. That's why you have people coping with drugs, alcohol, sex, work, whatever it may be that they're coping with, is because, you know, they don't have a faith. They don't have God to be there to help them make it through. So they mask situations because they can't handle it. Life be lifing and it gets hard. Stuff be coming your way, blow for blow. The enemy don't care that you a believer or you're not a believer because everybody's going to get hit regardless. So God is saying, listen, I'm here. You have a backing. You have someone who loves you that can cover you, that can help you, that can lead you. You know, I left the gift for the Holy Spirit that is all-knowing, that can lead you in this world. And that's what he wants us to know. Don't let sin block you from all of this. Don't let sin pull you away from God and build a wedge to where you can't connect to God, because sin does draw that wedge. And it pushes you further and further away from God. So he's saying, remove the sin, you know, repent and come to him so that you can get everything that you need from him. You want to be able to have your needs met. You want to be able to be a kingdom citizen so that you have access to everything that he owns. You know, so that you can be okay. You don't have to suffer no more. Well, you do have to go through suffering. I take that back. Long suffering, too. But not suffering because, you know, you're lacking, you know, or you're impoverished or anything like that. No, because God will make a way out of no way. And God will, you know, heal your body or whatever he needs to do for you or whatever you need. He will meet that need. And also, even if he doesn't meet that need, because people don't teach you that, sometimes God don't meet your need, that need. But he'll give you peace in the midst of it. You know, you'll begin to be able to still praise him in spite of your situation if he haven't done it yet. You'll be able to stand on his word and his promises. You'll be able to look towards the hills for which cometh your help, because you're going to know that your help comes from the Lord. You're going to be able to trust in him and have faith in him no matter what your situation looks like, no matter if you're getting a divorce, no matter if your children is acting crazy, no matter if your money is acting funny, you still have faith in God. You're still standing on his word. You're still able to go on each and every day and not really knowing what's going to happen because your faith is in the Lord. Because you know that if he take care of the flowers and the birds and the bees, what less do he think of you? He loves you. He wants the best for you. He's not going to allow you to just have a shabby life. God is not shabby. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And if you're a child of God, he's not going to give you anything. He's going to give you the best of the best. He's going to give you all things that are great and good for you. But we have to first remove the wedge of sin that is blocking it, that is blocking us from these things, from these blessings, from these deliverances, this healing, and this connection with him. It is the sin that is in the way, that is keeping us from not being able to hear him, not being able to connect or feel his presence. It's the sin that does that. Because the deeper you go into sin, the further away you get from God. You don't want to do that. That's why you like, oh, I don't want to listen to no sermons. I don't want to hear no gospel playing all day. I don't want to do all that. Because the more you sin, the more those things start to agitate your flesh. Once the flesh is out and operating, then that starts to agitate your flesh. So you have to get to a place where you're killing your flesh, you're killing the sin, you're dying to your flesh, you're removing the wedge between you and God, which is the sin, so that you can be reconnected to him, so that you can get closer and begin to hear him, feel him, and everything else. And your life just will begin to change. And we're not saying that no trouble is not going to come or that you're just going to have it easy peasy, lemon squeezy. No, that's not what God is advertising. We're advertising that you will be redeemed. You will be delivered. You have a savior, that you will be heaven bound if you repent and you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And begin to follow him and keep his statutes and keep his word on your heart. That's what God is telling us. And we be obedient to his word, because obedience is better than sacrifice. So he's saying if we do these things, then our life would begin to just change right before our eyes, and without you even knowing it, without you even paying attention to it. Because you know how you could be so busy doing something and not even notice? Like, for instance, I'm cleaning my dishes, right? But if the music is on and you all into the music and you vibing, next thing you look up, you cleaned the whole house. Literally, that's what having God in your life is like. If you're busy focusing on him, and you could be focusing on one thing, okay, I'm going to make sure I pray, I'm going to make sure I read the word before I go to bed, and then slowly but surely you look up and the whole house is clean, that your spiritual house. Now you don't even listen to that no more. You don't even dress like that no more. You don't even go those places like you used to no more. You don't do those things like you used to before, and you don't even notice it because you was focused on one thing and you had one task and you was committed to that one task, and then God just began to do everything else without you even noticing. That's how it is, giving your life to Christ and being a believer. It just happens. You're not looking for it. You didn't stress yourself trying to figure it out. You know, you didn't put the pressure on yourself to do it. It wasn't overwhelming. None of that. It just kind of happens without you even paying attention, because you wasn't focused on it. You just was doing the things of God and moving forward, and whatever didn't need to be didn't stay. It fell off. And we thank God for that. And that's what God is saying. People make it a little more complicated than what it is, because it's really not. And people love to say, oh, it's easier said than done. That's not true. It is very easy when you allow God to take control, when you stop being anxious, when you stop trying to control your life and dictate every little which way your life is supposed to be and go, and you let go and let God, it happens. But if you get in the way when God is trying to do some things, you could be a hindrance to your own life and your own walk. You could be your own stumbling block, God is saying. God could be ready to bless you right now, but if we get into sin, and that can be a block. When we open up doors through sin, because that's what sin do, it opens doors, then we could be blocking something that God was just on the brink of doing for us. Now we are our own hold up, our own hindrance, our own delay. Not the enemy, it's us for doing certain things and opening doors and then giving the enemy access. That's why we have to kick sin totally out of our life, out of our lifestyle. We have to be delivered. We have to ask God, you know, to take the taste out of our mouth of certain things so that we can just move forward in the things of God and just begin to really live. You know, you think you living now because you're doing what you want, but no, you will really live once you get God in your life. And just to have that liberty and freedom and to not be angry anymore and to not have a chip on your shoulder and to have peace and not worry and stress no more and not have to, you know, smoke your brains out, drink your brains out, party your brains out, whatever it is, just to give you that little time of peace. And God is saying, I can be that for you in a permanent thing. And I can do it all the time, at any time, whenever you need me. Just call on my name. Just seek me. Just pray. Just ask. I will answer. So this is the thing that God is telling us, not to allow sin to creep in, because he has some great plans for us. He's a perfect God. He's a just God. He knows all our needs. He hears us. He knows where we're lacking. And he wants us not to lack. He's a parent. He wants us to have the best. Any parent wants their child to have the best. They want their child to excel above and beyond. They want their child to be happy and prosperous. And that's the same parent that God is. Same parent. He's no different than an earthly parent. He's that same parent. He loves us. But he wants us to know that sin, that's not a state that we can find ourselves stuck in, sin, which then turns to rebellion against God. That's us making a decision to pretty much not obey God, not to listen to God, to do everything that's outside of him. We can't listen to the enemy. We can't fall trap when he's lying to us and trying to deceive us. And we can't fall into the trap of our own lustful desires and wanting to do things that we want to do that make us feel good. Everything that feel good ain't good for us. Everything that sound good ain't good for us. You know, we got to make sure what we're doing is what God tells us to do. We got to seek God before we make decisions, before we do things, before we go places. Ask God, you know, is this right for us? Is this the best decision? Should I do this? Will this help me or hurt me? Ask him for discernment. Ask him to show you the way so that you don't find yourself in sin and that you're seeking him with everything so that you're not making decisions on your own, just off your own feelings and ideas, but you're asking God and you're asking him to help you and lead you. We don't want to find ourselves out of the will of God. We want to be in the will, so that we can be in a covenant and so that we can obtain favor and blessings and life and eternal life when this is all said and done. But we have to keep God first and we have to be holy and live a holy and righteous life. We have to. We got to kick Satan out of our atmosphere, out of our life, because he's coming to kill, steal, and destroy. He's coming to get us off course. He's coming to, you know, try to put negative thoughts in our mind and all these different things that is not of God that we don't have time for. We literally don't have time for. You want to move forward in God. You want the things of God. You want God to deliver you, your household, your family. You got to be on the right course. You got to be focused. You got to be fighting. You got to be armored up. You got to be godly. You got to have your faith. You got to be following God's word, God's doctrine. I don't know about the other stuff that's going on in the world today, but following God's doctrine, the word, the Holy Bible, the unadulterated gospel, not adding to it or taking from it. You can't be in sin in a consistent sin or willful pattern. You got to break the cycles. Got to have faith in Jesus that, you know, you can be set free and that you can be filled with the Holy Spirit and then obey him and he will guide our thoughts and our actions. That's what he will do for us. Because if you're not delivered and you're not saved and none of that, you can't have access to God, can't have access to the kingdom, and you can't have access to heaven, to eternal life, you won't get that access. Your access will be denied. Yeah, you'll have grace and mercy, but if you keep going and spiraling deep into sin and no repentance and, you know, not no heart of repentance and really turning, your access will be denied. And you don't want your access denied to the kingdom of God. You don't want to allow Satan to have his way in your life. You know, you want God to be the head of your life. You want to be able to be saved. You would want that. It is the best decision you could ever make in your life. You would want that sin, that wedge to be removed. Because this whole land belonged to God. And how unfair would it be to see all the beauty and of the earth and, you know, all the things that is connected to him and not have any access to it because of sin. And you can't get it. It's like a kid in a candy store. You see everything that God can do and has done and can do, but you can't take no part in it because of sin, because you're disconnected from the Father. You don't want that. You do not want that. You want to be delivered. You want to accept Jesus Christ. You want to repent. You want to say sorry to God, ask for forgiveness, and turn from your wicked ways, you know, and seek his face. You want that. You want God to be the head of your life. You want that. You want to surrender to Christ. You want to be a part of him. You want to be saved. You want to keep his word in your heart. You want to live on that. You want to have a lifestyle. You don't want to just be a hearer of the word. You want to be a doer of the word to the best of your ability, to the best that you can. So God can say, job well done, my good and faithful servant. That's all we should be striving for. We just want to hear God say, job well done in the end. We just want him to be proud of us that we, you know, we came here, we did what we was called to do, we carried out our assignment, you know, we stood on his word, we was bold, we didn't back down, we didn't compromise, we didn't give room to the enemy, we didn't try to be of this world or bend to the, you know, the laws of this world, no, but we stood on what God told us. We stood on what the word told us, how to live, how to act, how to respond. And God would be proud of that. And I believe that's the only thing he wants from us, to have listened to what he tell us. That's it. Very similar to, you know, a parent. They just want to know that what they taught us, those talks they had with us, those words they put in us, those merits, those manners, all those things that make us who we are, they just want to know that we're carrying it out into everyday life and being good people. And that's what God is saying. He just wants us to carry this word with us so that we can be good people, so that we are being good ambassadors of the kingdom of God while we're here on earth, that we're just showing who God is through us and through our life, that we'll be a walking and living testimony, that people can see that God is real, even through us, even if we never said anything, but that they could see God because they could see our strength, they could see our perseverance, they could see our joy, even when we don't have no reason to be joyful. They could see our hope, even when we don't have no reason to be hopeful because our life is in shambles, but they can see God, like, oh, she went through all of that. She's still smiling. Oh, she's still giving. Oh, she's still getting up every day doing what she got to do. Oh, she's still taking care of her kids. Oh, she's still going to work because it's God. And it's not really us. We don't take the credit. All glory, all honor goes to God. He's the one that's giving us the strength. He's the one that's doing it. He's the one that's, you know, picking us up, giving us the strength to keep going. That's why you need him, because if you don't have God, you ain't going to be able to do that. Everybody ain't going to be able to bounce back from a divorce. Everybody ain't going to be able to bounce back from an eviction. Everybody ain't going to be able to bounce back from a death in the family. You need God. You need God for your everyday life, because things will happen. It's just life. You cannot go around it. You have to go through it. And the best way to go through this life is with your hand in hand with God. And that is what we're speaking about, you know. Get one life, live it with God. Because without him, what's life worth living without God? Nothing. Don't really have a life. It's an illusion. Because in the end, if you're going to hell, you're not really living. You know, you're just being deceived that, you know, your life is great. But if you're going to die and spend eternity in hell, what kind of life is that? That's not fun at all, to be burning forever and ever and ever and ever and ever, rather than having eternal life in heaven where the streets are golden, no more crying, no more weeping, no more sorrow, everybody happy, singing holy, holy, holy. That sounds way better. Way better to me. But choose today to kick sin out of your life. Keep God first. Separate yourself from sin and from the sinful lifestyle. You know, choose you this day who you're going to serve. Because we do have to answer everyone to God on Judgment Day at the end. But Jesus loves you, and so do I. Have a blessed night.